Okay, we want to say good evening to everyone, and this is Minister Peterkin, and we're here with our panel tonight on Understanding God's Word Ministry, and we are going to continue talking about what is truth, and we're going to kind of veer off or take it in a different direction. Now, last week, we saw that these people who started out believing God based upon him performing a miracle of feeding the 5,000 with two fish, five loaves of bread. They followed, the miracle got their attention, but we found out that they were only following Christ because of the bread. They didn't want to be changed. They didn't want to become a true follower of Christ. They didn't want to go through the process of being a true disciple, which means we read in Luke 9:23 was, if any man will come after me, this is Christ saying this, that he must deny himself, pick up his cross, and follow daily, right? So this was the requirement. In John 6, we saw how Christ laid out himself as the bread of life and as the wine, okay? And it was pointing to, he said, you must eat my flesh and drink my blood. In other words, spiritually, you must embrace me as your Savior. Embrace me as the Redeemer to give my life as the broken bread, and my I pour out my blood, shed my blood on your behalf as poured out wine. So by you believing in me as the atonement, the sacrificial lamb, he's saying that that's all you have to do to be changed and transformed and placed in the kingdom of God. And from there, he says, if you continue to believe in me, I'll deliver you from some bondages in your life. We're going to see that tonight too. Okay, but we see these people, if you cannot embrace him as truth, if you cannot embrace the word of God fully and totally, you will not be able to possess the promises. Okay? So the only way that they would be able to embrace him as truth was if their faith was in the right place. And we're going to start at Hebrews 11 because I think this will show us how where they fell and faltered in their faith walk. So we'll jump back to John 6 in a second, and it showed how because of the saying of Christ, him explaining himself as the bread and as the wine, poured out wine, they tried to comprehend spiritual things from a human perspective without divine influence. See, the natural man cannot understand the things of God. The natural man is opposed to the things of God. The flesh is against the will and the way of God. You and I cannot look at things in this life from a human perspective. It has to be from a divine perspective. And we found out that with Peter, when he looked at Christ and Christ explained the same thing, the cross. I got to go to the cross. The religious leaders are going to come take me. They're going to have me. They're going to beat me, crucify me. And in 3 days, Peter said, far be it for you to go to the cross. Why was it so hard for them to embrace what Christ came to do? And we found out that with Peter and the disciples, it was hard. And even with the people that had the fish and the bread turned into feeding the thousands, the reason why was because they had a preconceived idea of what they wanted Jesus to do and be. See this? Mm-hmm. They wanted Christ to force him to be the king of their choosing, not the suffering Savior that he came for the purpose in his coming. They didn't want that. They didn't want to die to what they wanted. They wanted to embrace him, but embrace him only as he fulfilled their needs. Aren't we the same way today? Mm-hmm. So what he says is, it's the same thing with Peter. Peter only and the disciples only wanted Christ, and we see that in Acts 1:6, even when Christ was resurrected, and he was about to be ascended on high back into heaven, they said, will you restore the kingdom at this time? They wanted Israel to be the ruling nation. And Christ says, no, it's not time. Now, when he will come, which is at the end during the millennial reign, which is way after the church is raptured out, after the great tribulation, then we'll see him come. And he will, during the battle, Armageddon, where he defeats Satan, and he will set his kingdom and rule 1,000 years, okay? And you see Israel coming to Christ. That's the millennial reign. That's when his kingdom will be set up on earth. And whether you want to serve him or not, you'll be submitted to that government. And believe it or not, and I don't know why we're going this direction, but we'll be led by the Spirit. Believe it or not, God will give them an opportunity to see him as the Messiah, and people will still reject him. This is the love of God shed abroad.
Yeah.
This is God giving people a chance by revealing himself as the resurrected Savior, King of kings, Lord of lords, ruler of all things. And people, for 1,000 years, he will show himself to the world, and people will still reject him. And after 1,000 years, he will set Satan aloose from the bottomless pit or wherever he's at, and Satan will deceive those people who still rejected him. This is the hardness and the wickedness of a human heart apart from God. So God has given man, he will give man every opportunity to see the grace and the mercy of God,
yeah.
But yet mankind still rejects him. And so this is why we see that it takes faith. And so we cannot be hindered by what we see. We have to walk by faith, not by sight. Faith will take you beyond what you see. Faith will take you beyond how you feel. And we have to learn how to bring our bodies under the subjection of this faith walk or faith in the cross, which means that simply we're denying self from responding and reacting to life situations. We're not the ones that's trying to understand it and comprehend it in our strength, because we don't understand the mind of God. But only those that are in Christ, that are submitted to the way of God, have the mind of God. Why? Because you and I, you're allowing the Spirit of God to have control instead of the flesh. That makes sense?
Amen.
So in Hebrews 11, we're going to start at verse 1. We're talking about this faith walk, and then we're going to get examples. But I'm going to read it also in the Amplified so we can see it broken down a little bit more. So let's start at verse 1.
Okay. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen.
Let's stop right there. Now, notice this. It's just clarifying how faith works. This is all it's defining, how faith works. So it says, now faith is the substance. This means it's the title deed. Or in the Amplified, it says, now faith is the assurance. Faith is the assurance or the confirmation or the title deed. Of what? Of the things we hope for. So in other words, faith in the right object is what gives you the confirmation or the assurance of the things that you hope for, being the proof of things you don't see.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense? So faith is what gives you a guarantee or an assurance. Faith in the cross says, I see things all haywire and chaotic and whatever. But because I trust, faith in Christ gives me the title deed. I own my faith is in the cross, so whatever, I rest in him. Because if you have a car or a house, if you have a car that you paid off, they give you or mail you the title deed, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you're driving that car or not, that car is in one location and you're in another state. If you have the title deed, that is still your car.
Amen.
You see that?
Amen.
So faith in the right object says you have the title deed for the things that you're hoping for. Now, remember, it is the Holy Spirit who put the desire and the will to do of God's good pleasure in us as we have faith in the cross. So the hope of the things that we're hoping for should be produced by the Holy Spirit. See that? It's not just me out here on a whim and I think I can name and claim everything I want because I said I have faith. No. It means that if the Holy Spirit, if God says that you are to have it, he's saying that the only way to get it, whatever it is by having faith in the right object.
Okay.
So it's the proof of things you do not see. You don't have, you don't see it. The proof is based upon your conviction of the reality. You see, it says, we do not see, being the proof of things we do not see and the conviction of their reality. So faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. See this? So in other words, I may not see it, but I believe it.
Yes. Okay.
That's what it's saying. Mm-hmm. It's saying that you have a conviction because your faith is in the cross, and we're going to look at these examples, and then you'll see fully. So these people in John 6 could not embrace Christ because they couldn't. They were not walking by faith, by conviction of the reality.
Mm-hmm.
Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. See that? This is a faith walk. It's an assurance. So when we say faith in the cross, it means your trust is in his way. And you understand that you have the confirmation or the title deed of the things that you're hoping for.
Amen.
Even though you don't see the proof. But your conviction is there of the reality that God is going to work things out for the good.
Yes.
So let's keep going. Oh, go ahead.
Minister, Well, I'd like to make a comment. As I'm walking through this truth, or we're walking through this faith, it really gets to the point that our faith should be on the spiritual side,
mm-hmm.
not having faith in the world side. In other words, not having faith. We talk about this often, not having faith in materialistic things.
Yes.
Or our faith should be, I'm thinking more now, my faith should be on just walking and trusting in God, just having the faith
mm-hmm.
that I'm going to believe the word of God. I'm going to believe on his promises. I'm going to believe that he's going to move me to my next level.
Yes.
Not, oh, I got faith in God because I'm going to go down and get that car.
Right, right.
Yeah.
This faith.
And
go ahead.
Yeah. Instead of
trusting
yeah.
him. Go ahead.
Right.
Trusting in him whether we get it or not. You're right. So
right. Amen.
Just like your healing, you know, we know that, you know, we want healing and God wants it for us. And everybody in the Bible didn't get healed on this side.
Right.
And those that did get healed, they had to die again. Or, you know, they had to die from whatever later on. But the point is,
right.
because of having faith, they gained a greater eternal life where they're never separated from the Father. So their faith and trust was more so in him and wanting him more than they wanted their next breath.
Right.
More than they wanted their next material thing. See?
Amen.
Because it's leading us to a person. That's what our faith, because Abraham, remember, and what you said is right. But remember when Abraham wanted a child. Genesis 15, he reminded God, you promised me a child. And God says, Abraham, I am your exceeding great.
Right. Amen.
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 Cut off again.
Mm-hmm.
But praise God, we have to walk by faith. I mean, and we can't just say, I got faith. God saying,
right.
You say you got faith, I'm going to test you. So we're going to see. So we can't just
Amen.
Say, he know our hearts, don't it?
Yes, he does. Mm-hmm. That's
yes.
for sure.
Amen.
Amen. And we want our heart to be in the right place.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Wow.
Man.
Mm. Now, our biggest practice is practicing how to be, like you said, humble. You know,
okay,
have a humility.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I got disconnected, but go ahead and finish. I ain't mean to interrupt.
Oh, no, that's the Sister Sherry and I just talking.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
We're
waiting on you to come back. Amen.
Thank you so much. So, like we said, that God wants, the whole point and purpose of us going through the trial is to want him or to get a hold of him. Not saying that God won't give us the things, that's just a byproduct. But the whole purpose of a trial or the situation is that we get knowledge and understanding and understand his ways more than just his acts.
Right.
Amen.
Well, I think I've always go back to is it Matthew 6:33, seek ye the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things shall be added.
There you go.
That's just so key. That's just a key scripture.
Yes,
if we stay, if our minds and heart is the in the kingdom, whatever we need, not what we want, but what we need to build the kingdom, God is going to provide.
Amen. And he says we are complete in him. Everything we need is in him. And that's what he was trying to lead them to when he said, eat my flesh, drink my blood.
Amen.
Everything you need is in me.
Yes.
Not in this going out trying to find your, how you going to fill your belly and quench your thirst. The woman at the well found that out. She said, Lord, give me this water forevermore that I will never thirst. She was talking about something physical. But eventually she started realizing her faith was more, the more it was directed towards Christ, she started getting the spiritual aspect of it, right?
Amen.
And this is what faith is, the assurance, the confirmation. So you start, like, I don't see it, but I know in me, I know that God is working things out for the good in me. He's working some stuff out of me so that I can become more and more like him. And then we start thinking and having the mind of Christ. Look at Peter and the disciples. There's a major difference from them in the gospel and when we get over in the book of Acts.
Amen.
They're not asking, Lord, when are you going to restore Israel over Rome? They're walking in the power.
Right. Amen.
So let's keep going. Verse 2, excellent point.
For by the elders obtain a good report.
It says in the Amplified, I'm going to read along with you, Sister Tier. For by faith or trust in holy fervor born of faith, the men of old had divine testimony born to them and obtained a good report. Keep going.
Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear.
Now notice these words in verse 1. It says, now faith, for by it, talking about faith, and now through faith.
Mm-hmm.
See this? So the emphasis on faith, having the right object. This is what Christ was telling them in John 6. He was trying to point them to himself and what he would do to redeem a world. So this is why we can go back to here. He says, now faith, having your faith in the right object, it's the title deed. So this is why everybody has to be directed. And then he even tells the gifts to the body, which are the apostle, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, to teach everyone until they all come to the unity of the faith, so that we'll no longer be children tossed to and fro. Satan wants us to remain as children, immature in the faith.
Yes.
So religion oftentimes keep us in this cycle of where we never grow up. This is the problem that he has. So he's telling us here, now, if you put your faith in the right object, in Christ, in the cross, now faith, by faith, and through faith, you may not have all the details how the world was framed, but by through faith, you know that God framed the world by the word of God.
Amen.
So that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. You just know that. You have that assurance. You have that confirmation. You have that, Lord, I trust. I wasn't there. I don't know what happened all those years ago, but by faith.
By faith. Amen.
And through faith.
Yes.
Let's keep going. Let's look at the testimony. I'm going to read a few of these, and we'll get back, and we'll take off where we need to go. Verse 4.
By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead, yet speaketh.
Now, see this? By faith, this is Abel. So what did Abel do?
By faith.
In a coming Redeemer, he offered, see, faith prompted him. Faith in the right object will prompt you to move. So having faith doesn't, and when we say rest in Christ, it doesn't mean you're inactive. It means that you are prompted. See, all these people we see, they were prompted to do something because they were prompted by the Spirit of God. When he saw their faith in the right object, the Holy Spirit moved upon them.
Amen.
It's not us in our activity moving. It's not us in our own human strength and ability moving, but we have to be prompted upon by the Holy Spirit. So when Abel understood faith in him, because it was in the right place, a coming Redeemer, it caused him to move at the command of God and offer unto God the more excellent sacrifice than Cain.
Amen.
See, this is what your faith and my faith, and this is why it says God is able to do exceeding abundantly above that which we could ask or think, but it's according to the power at work in you. The power at work in Abel was that he believed God and it prompted him. See, the power moved upon him and prompted him to bring up the right sacrifice and to offer it. Was he concerned about what Cain thought? No.
No way.
See this? Faith in the right object will cause you not to be concerned of what people think, of how your appearance is towards others. You won't base your speech. See, Moses was in himself. Lord, I stutter. And see, when faith is moving and alive and active and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword because of the word of God, then you will move on it. You will move based upon your convictions, see?
Yes.
The conviction of the reality, faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. That's why Peter could say, thou art the Christ. See, Christ said, who do men say, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he said, flesh and blood has not told you that, Peter. Peter was moved upon. See, his faith in Christ and his word, the Holy Spirit moved upon him and caused him to say that which the Spirit gave an assurance of. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God.
Amen.
So when Cain offered the excellent sacrifice, it says, immediately proclaims the fact that the object of our faith must be Jesus Christ and him crucified, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. So in other words, he wasn't righteous because he did church works, religious activities. He was right with God because he offered the right sacrifice.
Wow, amen.
And God testified of his gifts. It says, referring to the fact that the sacrifice of the Lamb, which represented Christ, see, God was and is satisfied only with what Christ has done. So when you and I come to him based upon what Christ has done by faith, he accepts us. So God accepted Christ, and when we put our faith in the right object, Christ accepts us. I mean, God accepts us.
Amen.
So this is why Abel was accepted, because of his offering. What he brought, and that was a lamb that pointed to a coming Redeemer. Now notice it says, and by it he being dead yet speaks. In the Amplified it says, prompted by faith, Abel brought God a better and more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, because of which it was testified of him that he was righteous, that he was upright and in right standing with God. And God bore witness by accepting and acknowledging his gifts. And though he died, yet through the incident, through his Cain killing him, he is still speaking.
Amen.
Y'all know how many years ago that was that Cain killed Abel?
Right.
And yet we still, right here this day, his life is a testimony to us.
Yes.
How
Amen.
Many years ago?
Amen.
This is what faith in the right object. You see, we're still talking about what he did, even though he lost his life, but yet he gained true life. You see this?
Yeah.
And this is
and,
what
and called a prophet to this day.
Yes. Amen.
Amen.
So this is This is what faith in the right object will do. It will prompt you, or it will actuate you to move and to do the very thing the Spirit is calling you to do.
Wow.
See that?
Nothing about man.
Right. Amen. See, only, like you said, only thing we do is get in the way.
Mm-hmm.
This is why God is against those religious folks and people that think they're right because of their religious affiliation and what their works and what they do or don't do. That's why he says it's as filthy rags, a woman's monthly flow. That's why it's not about you. You didn't
Amen.
Die on the cross. And if you had died, you couldn't redeem a flea.
Amen.
We can't redeem nothing because what? We were sinners.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
See that? Amen. So none of our efforts please God. Because man was woefully insufficient.
Yes.
So he says in verse 5, let's look at Enoch. Keep going.
By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God.
And why did he please God? Because his faith was in the right
place,
in the cross, a coming Redeemer. See, the Old Testament saints, even though Christ wasn't there, but Christ was, he would come in types and shadows. Everything in the Old Testament was pointing to him in types and shadows, meaning that God was going to send a Redeemer. So they had to place their faith in a coming Redeemer. Today, since he's already shed his blood, we place our faith in the fact that he's already redeemed us.
Amen.
In the cross. So we don't have to look forward to it. He's already done it. We just trust the fact that he's done it. He's in heaven. So we just trust him while here on earth.
Amen.
That same power, the same power that raised Christ from the dead is in us. He can raise us up by faith.
Amen.
Let's keep going.
But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him.
Now, Christ said, if you see me, you see the Father. And he said, you can't have God without accepting or embracing me. I'm just paraphrasing. So he says, but without faith, if God was and is fully satisfied only with what Christ has done, without faith in that act, whether an Old Testament saint or a New Testament saint, without faith, he says, it's impossible to please him. And now understand, we're not talking about having faith in people, faith in our positions, faith in who we are or what we're doing. It's always the act that took place at Calvary. And this is where God was satisfied with Christ shedding his blood on behalf of mankind because he was sinless, but yet took upon the sin of the world. This satisfied God. He said in another scripture, this day you have been begotten of God. And that means he was born of God because he did the will of God. See, we're
Amen.
Born of God only when we do the will of God, when we're obedient to the will of God. And remember, he says to them that received him, he gave power to become sons of God. You only become a son of God when you walk in obedience to God.
Amen.
So a lot of times we're trying to be sons of God, and we're not walking in obedience to God according to God's way. He says, they that are of truth hears my voice. So you and I have to be of truth, not of church, not of worldly situations or parties or sex or whatever, but of truth. Those that are of truth will hear his voice, and a stranger, they'll run away, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So he says, but without faith. Now, notice in the Amplified, it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please and be satisfactory to him. So why were these people in John 6? They rejected Christ. So if they rejected Christ, then their faith was not in the right place. So it would have been impossible for them to please God. Because one, he said, for whoever would come near to God must necessarily believe that God exists and that he is the rewarder of those who diligently and earnestly seek him out. Now, Christ said, if you're going to come after me, what did he say you have to do?
Deny yourself.
You see? So these people we saw in John 6, who, we'll go there in a minute, they did not believe Christ. And then they wanted to, they walked away from Christ. So they did not approach God. If they wanted to approach God, they were approaching without faith, and it's impossible to please God. So there is no way that they could receive anything from God.
Amen.
Because they weren't earnestly and diligently seeking him out. Christ, they were seeking him for the bread, but they weren't seeking him out for who he was and why he came. Let's keep going, and then the soprano, we'll go down a couple more in this.
By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith.
Now notice here it says in the Amplified, prompted by faith, Noah, being forewarned by God concerning events of which as yet there was no visible sign.
Wow. Amen.
Now, the world today would call you crazy, a lunatic, a conspiracy theorist, and all these things. And people, because they were like, oh, he's talking about it's going to rain. It ain't never rain. What are he talking about? This old man out here building this boat. What in the, you know, they saw him. Can you imagine the ridicule?
Amen.
They thought he was crazy, and I'm sure they called him all kind of names, but he was prompted by faith. Why? Because God forewarned him concerning events of which as yet there was no visible sign. There are events. God warns us through scriptures what to watch out for because of certain events. You may not see the signs today. We're seeing all kinds of signs, but there are signs today to show us that some event is going to happen with the church first, and that's being raptured out. We don't see it. Most people be like, they're a lunatic. Raptured? Who going to? Y'all understand? So we have to preach, and we have to forewarn people about the coming damnation and the eternal separation. They think we're crazy, but what did Noah do? He didn't. He had to forewarn of events that God revealed to him, and there was no visible sign. So he took heed. See, this is when you have faith. If, you know, there's no sign. You don't see the thing come to pass. You don't see the stuff happening, but you're moved and prompted by faith to take heed to God's word. So he took heed and diligently and reverently constructed and prepared an ark for the deliverance of his own family.
Amen.
Most of us would have said, amen. I thought I had this crazy dream. This crazy thought came in my head. Y'all know how we do. And so he says, by this, his faith, which relied on God, he passed judgment and sentence on the world's unbelief and became an heir and possessor of righteousness. This is why you and I cannot be cuddled up with the world. If we're cuddled up with the world and the people of the world, doesn't matter who they are, they don't see the convicting. They don't feel the judgment and the sentence. See, we should be, if we're around sinners, they should feel pretty uncomfortable. They should feel something, because this judgment, this coming judgment, it should bring about conviction and cause men to want to seek out a savior. If we call it up with the world and they okay and we just hanging out, ha ha ha, something's wrong.
Amen.
Because the world does not, the world loves its own. But there should be, light will bring about, see, the light and darkness, the two can't mingle and mix. I'm not saying not to be with people and talk to people and stuff like that, but I'm saying that when it comes to what people are standing for, what they're doing, that's contrary to what's right, and we just don't, you know, we kind of just play it off and laugh it off or whatever, but we have to see the bigger picture. That person could die and go to hell.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to think, if that person died or if something happened, they could say, they walked with me daily and they never told me the truth. They never lived the truth. More than anything, it's not what you say. It's how you live.
How you live. Ooh,
it's
amen.
How you respond to things. Yes. Amen?
Amen.
So it says that relation of being right into which God puts the person who has faith. So he passed judgment and sentence on the world's unbelief and became an heir and possessor of righteousness. Now, I want to jump down because I want you to see, and then we're going to go back to John 6, and we'll compare how they respond to these people who we just read, these patriarchs, how they responded in faith, and see if we can recognize the difference. Let's keep going, Sister Terry, verse 8.
By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whether he went.
Now, Abraham had to be moved upon by faith. He was prompted by faith when he was called to go out into a place. He had to go leave the land of Ur, of the Chaldeans, and he had to go where God, notice this, he obeyed.
Mm-hmm.
And he went out. Now, do we see in these scriptures talking about faith, we don't see the struggle that these people had. So don't think that, oh, it was a bed of roses. They just up, moved, and hey, I'm good to go. No, it took some events happening in the life of Moses. I think his father died, Abraham, for him to move. Because we, on our natural inclination, we won't move. We won't do what God wants us to do. So we don't see all the details, but God just shows us what he saw. Once they got to the point of faith. You see this?
Right.
He's revealing to us what he saw. When he got them to the point of acting in faith, this is what we saw. But when you read in the scriptures, he gives us the picture of what happened in some of their lives, some of the downfalls and the ups and downs that they went through to get them to this point. That makes sense?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So we're going to go through ups and downs, but God ultimately wants to get us to this point of by faith. Yes, ma'am.
Well, that's like today when people, and I noticed over, you know, some time ago, you have people by faith, they would go out and hand out the tracts, the gospel tracts, and then somebody would say, oh, well, God ain't telling you to do that. But when you really think about it, that was their starting walk of faith.
Right.
And if that was their starting walk of faith, then who are we to say God is not telling you to do that?
Right.
It doesn't seem like much, but if we're going by, you know, faith, and we have to go step out at the level of faith that we're at. If it's just to smile at somebody and hand them a track, and then next time maybe hand them a track and speak something, and the next time, you know, we don't know. But I've heard people say, oh, you know, people just handing out track. People don't read the track, but maybe somebody will.
Right.
It's just like anybody in the church ain't hearing. They sitting there getting some dynamic teaching, but everybody's not hearing.
Right.
Right. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I will say that sometimes, and I just say from experience, sometimes people, because they're not taught, will do a thing or work not prompted by faith, if that makes sense. And what I mean by that is sometimes gathering in church, you know, I'm on a witness team, and we just think it's, you know what I mean? I'm just saying from my experience, and we may not be there, and I'm not saying not to do that, but sometimes we're prompted to do it out of the flesh, and our measure of faith has not risen. Y'all see what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
Our measure, sometimes people just join, and what I mean by that, and I think it's kind of different from what you're talking about, Sister Cynthia, we kind of just jump on the bandwagon of doing things in church, and there is no, and people, and we think that it's the Spirit of God moving upon us, but when it can be just a movement sometimes. And not saying that it's bad or good. Y'all understand what I'm saying? Because I just know one time I was, you know, I don't think I was led. I think I was doing it because it seemed like a good and right thing to do. And there I was in the midst of a neighborhood of some hoodlums thinking I'm doing what God called me. And my husband like, what in the world? You could have been robbed. Y'all understand what I'm saying? I was young in the faith, and I was and trying to understand. And it just felt like sometimes when you're with groups, how you can sometimes think that because everybody's doing it, that you should be doing it.
Okay, yeah.
If that makes sense. And I'm not saying that I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it, but I'm just saying that sometimes I know that people can get caught up in the atmosphere of some things, and we can get ahead of ourselves than waiting on God, if that makes sense.
Amen.
It may be if God told that person to go, maybe God just told that person to go do it. You know what I'm saying? And then,
then
you try to pull everybody else in, but God told you to go do it, so you're trying to get everybody else to go with you.
Right. And that's like Barnabas, I think it was John Mark, Barnabas, and Paul. They fell out. They fell out. Why? Because God, the Holy Spirit, said, separate me. I think it was Paul and Barnabas, but John Mark was a cousin of Barnabas, and Barnabas just wanted John Mark to come along. Mm-hmm. And Paul had an encounter with John Mark where he left them. John Mark left them. And Paul was like, in the scriptures you see where he didn't fulfill the mission. He left out of fear, doubt, whatever. And so when they were going on this mission, Barnabas was like, I don't want my cousin to go, John Mark. Hey, ain't nothing wrong with it. And Paul's like, no. We had an issue before, and John Mark didn't rise up to the occasion, and he and Barnabas fell out over that. Mm-hmm. See what I'm saying? And sometimes people say, separate me such and such and this and that. And I'm just saying all that. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with handing out tracts or anything. But I'm just saying that sometimes there's a separate work or where God has to separate certain people, certain things, to do certain things at a certain time, and we just have to be sensitive to that Spirit, whereas sometimes the church think it's just the everybody come along type thing. Y'all don't see what I'm saying?
Well, and what you're saying is, this team, nobody I know, well, I don't know him personally, but the team leader, they would go out, as you say, every week, and they ran across this man who came up. He said they were Caucasian, and the man that they were trying to talk to was black, and he said, well, you know, why are you trying to talk to me? You just out here to feel good. And he broke it right down to him, and then the leader said, pack up your stuff, because he knew what the man was saying was correct. I can't remember the details of it, but he said, pack up your stuff, let's go, you know, because the man convicted him, like, you just out here to make yourself feel good. You don't care nothing about me.
Wow. Oh, wow.
And it was just enough that, you know, it was like, this is just something you do every week. This is just something you do.
And there you go. And that's the point. There you go. What I was trying to say. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Very good. Thank you for that. Okay. So I want to read a couple of more. Where we stop, Sister Cherry?
On 9.
Okay. I want to jump down to, let's see. Okay, verse 11.
Okay. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised.
Now we know the story of Sarah. When God promised and she did what? She left. She doubted. See what I mean? But God looks past that in this scripture, and he's showing us what faith does. Once we get to that point where we put our total object of faith and trust in him and his way, remember I said great faith has to be tested and it has to be tested greatly. It says, because of faith also Sarah herself received physical power to conceive a child. Why? Was it because she was good?
Faithful.
No, because of what? Because of faith in the right object. Eventually, it took her some time to get there, as well as Abraham, right? Because we all know that the first thing they tried to do was to bring forth this child through Hagar. And so, because of her faith, also Sarah herself received physical power to conceive a child, even when she was long past the age for it. See, faith will cause you to look beyond your natural ability, your natural inclinations. You see how it goes beyond the natural?
Yes, amen.
Why? Because she considered God, who had given her the promise to be reliable and trustworthy and true to his word. That's in Genesis 17 and 19, 18, 11 through 14, and 21, verse 2. Keep going.
Therefore, sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable.
Now, so it says, so from one man, though he was physically as good as dead, talking about Abraham, there having sprung descendants whose number is as the stars of heaven and as countless as the innumerable sands of the seashore. Verse 13. You see that? See what faith could do? They didn't see it, and it took some time. But you and I have to continue to believe God despite what we see. This is the fight of faith in this life that we live. It's not you got to see it to believe it. See, we're not like the people in John 6. They wanted to see something. Show us a sign. But the walk of faith is I believe it because I don't see it. I have faith.
Yes, amen.
And what faith does, faith will take. See, he has to humble us in strength and raise us up in weakness. He took a feeble old woman and man and used their bodies that was just good as dead and brought forth descendants.
Amen.
See, this is when faith works.
Yes.
When there is no evidence. There is nothing around me that proves or shows that God is going to work it out for my good. But I have a confidence. See, this is what the Holy Spirit produces in you and I. He gives us the confidence and the assurance to continue to believe God despite the fact. This is why Satan walks around as a roaring lion, because he's going to get a lot of people. Because why? People are looking at their natural, looking at the external, and they're not comparing their problems to their God. They're comparing it to themselves. What we're facing in this nation today, we cannot compare it to ourselves because we're no match.
Right.
We're no match for Satan. So when we see these things, we bring them up. We see them in the natural, but we also, by faith, God is going to use you and I. We're the arms and the legs in the earth. He wants us to stand in faith and believe because he says if his eyes go to and fro throughout the whole earth looking for someone to show himself strong whose heart is perfect towards him so he can show himself strong on their behalf. You see that? These people qualified themselves for God to move on their behalf. Why? Because they exhibited faith and trust in his way and who he was. They trusted. They realized that their flesh was frail, weak, and feeble, and that they could not do it. Their efforts, they fail every time. They were falling short daily. Verse 13.
These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them and embraced them, and confess that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth.
Now, notice what it says. I like reading this because it takes these words and break it down. These people all died controlled and sustained by faith, their faith. This is how you and I are to live a Christian life here on earth. These people all died controlled and sustained by their faith. But not having received the tangible fulfillment of God's promises, only having seen it and greeted it from a great distance by faith, and all the while acknowledged and confessing that they were strangers and temporary residents and exiles upon the earth. See, we're temporary residents. We're strangers in the earth. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I feel like I'm speaking Greek. And you look around, you see stuff, and you're like, why nobody else is getting this? What? You feel like you're a stranger and a temporary resident. Why? Because you are, and I are being pulled out of the world system. We're not to think like the world. We're not to respond like the world. God is making it where we're translating his kingdom to the earthly, to the people and things here on earth. We're ambassadors of the kingdom of God, and we're relaying the kingdom here on earth. And the same way that Christ was a stranger, they didn't understand him. They called him a Beelzebub. They wanted to kill him because his language was contrary to what they thought and what they believed and how whatever they perceived. This is how you and I are to live as exiles upon the earth. The earth don't want to hear what you and I have to say. They don't want to be just like Noah. They didn't want to hear that they were sinners that needed to be redeemed and rescued by that ark. They didn't want to hear that. So when they reached all those years it took for Noah to build that ark was a testimony against them that they never received God's grace. That was judgment against them because God, the whole time that God had Noah building that ark was an opportunity for them to give their lives. You see that?
Mm-hmm.
The whole time that we as the church are here and God is preparing to rapture out the church is a testimony to the world. See what I'm saying? We're supposed to be a light in a city on a hill. And if they reject it, however long the church is here, that's how long they had to get it right. And God will be justified in his judgment.
Amen.
See this? And this is why the focus has to be on standing on truth and righteousness in a dark and perverted world system. We have to warn as many people as possible to come out from amongst it and be ye separate. Let's keep going, Sister Cherry. Let me see where I want to jump to. Let's jump down to verse 17. And this will be the last one.
By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son.
Okay, now remember I said great faith has to be tested, and it has to be tested greatly.
Mm-hmm.
So when God saw faith in Abraham finally, it had to be tried.
Amen.
Y'all don't think we can come on this Bible study line, talk about faith in the Word of God, and you're not going to be tested. Each one has to be tried, and God has to make sure that your total object and trust is in him and his plan and his way, which is the cross of Christ.
Amen.
If it means losing all just to gain Christ and understand him, so be it. Christ said, Paul said, all that was advantageous to me, everything. He lost family, he lost friends, he lost all the religious leaders, his position, his stuff. Paul said, I count it all as dung. Why? Just to gain Christ.
Amen.
So by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, he had gotten, he cried out to God for a child, finally got it, and now that very thing God promised has to be offered up. And it says here, 17, it says here, by faith, Abraham, when he was put to the test, while the testing of his faith was still in progress, had already brought Isaac for an offering. He who had gladly received and welcomed God's promises was ready to sacrifice his only son. Y'all see this?
Mm-hmm.
Why? He wanted God more than what God had to offer.
Amen.
This is where God wants us. You can't let the blessings get you. You can't be overtaken by what God has given you. You and I have to go to our first love. Always, He has to be the first love at all times.
Amen.
We're thankful for everything God bless us with, but we can never let those things become priority or take precedence over our love for Him.
Amen.
So by faith, it says, when he was put to the test, while the testing of his faith was still in progress, he had already brought Isaac for an offering. He was ready. Now, that point, for Abraham to get to that point, it took him leaving, as we read above, Ur of the Chaldeans, separating, leaving his kindred, separating. It took him going through separation with Lot. It took him, y'all see all these things that happened? Encounter with fighting the people with Lot, who had locked them captive over in Sodom and Gomorrah. It took him falling and failing with Ishmael. All these things were building Abraham to the point where he was able to offer Isaac.
Amen.
It says, he who had gladly received and welcomed God's promises was ready to sacrifice his only son. Keep going, Sister Cherry.
Of whom it was said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called.
Now, think about this. God said, in Isaac will your seed be reckoned or called, right? So now God says, take that, your only son, and bring him as a sacrifice. It took faith.
Mm-hmm.
It took Abraham having to trust God. And we're going to see what he reasoned. Here we go, verse 19.
Accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure.
Okay, now this is what Abraham believed. This is what faith caused him to believe. It arose in his heart. For he reasoned, it was verse 19, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, for he reasoned that God was able to raise him up even from among the dead. Indeed, in the sense that Isaac was figuratively dead, meaning potentially sacrificed. He saw him sacrificed, but he said in his heart and mind, if God gave me this child, this promised child, he's not going to take him away. He's probably going to have to raise him from the dead. So he said, I'm going to offer him, believing that God's going to keep his promise. This is what he did. So this is what faith caused him to do. It caused him to offer what God required. He didn't do like Adam and Eve. He obeyed God. See, what's more important to God is obedience. Meaning that I trust you, God, despite the fact that I can't wrap my head around it. I don't know how you're going to do it. I don't understand how you're going to perform it. And it's not for us to understand that. But it is for us to be obedient and apply faith.
Yes.
And that's what he requires. He requires that if I'm going to approach him, that I have to approach him by faith in the right object.
Amen.
Not that I understand how he's going to work it, but I just got to believe that he knows what's best and whatever it is going to work for my good.
Amen.
See that? So let's see. Let me see how much time I got, because I think I'm almost. Okay, I got 2 minutes here, and let's see where I want to go. Let's go to Hebrews 4. I know I said John 6, but we'll get there next week. I just want to sit here real quick. Hebrews 4. Now, this shows us, and I'm only going here because in John 6, those people did not believe Christ, even though Christ explained himself. He explained the word of God. He explained the cross of Christ to them. They could not embrace him because they were not willing to apply faith. They were not willing to trust God in his way. They were trusting in their own efforts to bring about the manifestation of their physical need. They only wanted Christ in order to bring about their physical needs. And same thing in the wilderness. They only wanted God in the wilderness to supply them with food and water. Whatever their demands were, that's the only reason why they wanted God. That faith takes us beyond our natural need. And like you said in Matthew 6, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. They sought not first the kingdom of God, but they sought their own material needs.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go start at verse 4.
Verse 4.
I'm sorry, verse 1, chapter 4 of Hebrews.
Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it.
Okay, the note says, let us, talking about modern believers, therefore fear refers to the fact that salvation can be lost if the believer ceases to believe. So important that faith remains. You continue to trust God from the day of salvation, initial salvation, to we die. Because it can cease. If we cease to believe, we can lose it. So it says, this proves it is possible for such to be done, which means the loss of the soul. Let's keep going.
For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it.
So in the Amplified, this would be the last one. For indeed we have had the glad tidings, or the gospel of God, proclaimed to us just as truly as they, the Israelites of old, did when the good news of deliverance from bondage came to them. But the message they heard did not benefit them. Why? Because it was not mixed with faith. And it says it here in the notes, with the leaning of the entire personality on God in absolute trust and confidence in his power, wisdom, and goodness by those who heard it. It says, neither were they united in faith with the ones, Joshua and Caleb, who heard and did believe.
Amen.
See this? They did not mix. So the gospel was preached just like it's preached today. But what causes the word to become quick and powerful is your faith in it.
Yes.
Your faith and my faith in the cross of Christ is what makes the word powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. See that?
Mm-hmm.
Dividing the soul and spirit to bring to surface the thoughts and the intents of the heart. That person that had the stony, received seed upon the stony ground, they would not allow the word of God to penetrate the heart, to bring to surface what was there. That's the whole purpose of the word of God. And you and I, by faith, have to trust that God knows what he's doing. God knows what's best for me. God knows what's in my heart. God knows what tests I need specifically ordained for me to get me to the point where I can say, by faith. Through faith.
Amen.
Y'all see this? That's where he's trying to get each of us. Just like the hallmark, the people that are the hallmark of faith that we just read about, God in his books can say, by faith, she came, y'all see, she believed and trusted and overcame whatever the obstacle is in our lives.
Yes.
This is where God wants us. If you don't mix the word of God, mix faith in the word of God or in the cross of Christ, it is impossible. See, many of them were overthrown in the wilderness. They never received the promises. And you have too many people wandering in a wilderness today as Christians, and they're defeated by the enemy. They're never able to overcome. God gave you and I overcoming life.
Yes.
He gave us the power to overcome sin, self, the world, and Satan. There's no reason why the enemy should be taunting us and taking us, causing us to lose our hope and faith in the cross.
Amen.
David had 30 mighty men, and these men in the spirit world, their faces were as the face of a lion, and their feet appeared as hind feet or deer feet. This is what the spirit world saw of these mighty men. One man took an arrow or spear, and he threw it and killed hundreds of men.
Wow.
One of David's mighty men. What am I saying? When you and I in the hands of, see, Christ, David was a type of Christ. And when we're submitted to God in his way by faith, we become mighty men and women of the faith.
Yes.
We're able to overcome the obstacles in this life because this is not our home.
Amen.
Many of us get too comfortable with what we see around us and what we're going through. We're getting too comfortable, and we want to be like the world. But God needs men and women who are ready to arise to the occasion. And on that note, I'm going to have to close.
Amen.
We're going to take questions and comments at the end of the call. So y'all on the line, just hold on for a second. And we just want to thank everyone for tuning in tonight. We thank you, and we pray that we said some things that will strengthen you in your walk. And until next Tuesday at 6:45, we'll see you again on an understanding of God's word. Thank you and be blessed.